Now, to say the least, the Bible is a complex book. In fact, we have one of our members who's reading through it this summer, Pat Cox. She's in several people. How many people are reading through the Bible this year? Oh, look at that. Wow, I didn't thank you. Great. You know, this area of prophecy that Betty read in Daniel this morning with a good, inspired feeling behind it, that was, well, it was not a mistake. There are many things about how things are going to happen in the end times. What I'd like to do is to shed a little light on prophecy. I don't claim to have all the answers. I'm not a prophet. But the Bible is our only source of reference which is valid for our faith. Last Sunday, we talked about the rapture of the church, and it hasn't happened because we're all still here. But today we're going to talk about Satan's Superman, the Antichrist. It's difficult stuff to understand what this is all about. Let's see how it goes. Well, some 40 billion people have lived on this earth since the Garden of Eden, since the earth was created. There have been many talented, intelligent people, powerful people, but no one that we've been able to define yet who has lived up to the word Antichrist. Now, this person will be powerful, deceitful, intelligent, brutal, loved, ruthless, and efficient. He will be Satan's Superman, Satan's right-hand person. Let's see what the Bible says about him. Well, first of all is the appearance of Satan's Superman. A fierce king will come up in the end times, but what are his signs of his appearance? The answer is yes, we'll know it, and no, we won't know it. It's very difficult. I can remember taking our children on a trip, road trip going out to wherever, and you back out of the driveway and the little three-year-old says, "Are we there yet?" And then 3 months later, the six-year-old says, "Are we there yet?" "No, not yet." Well, we're not exactly sure who the Antichrist is or when he is coming or when he will be here. Is he here yet? He could be here and maybe not. The Bible tells us there are certain signs that will accompany his appearance. These signs we'd like to look at in a few minutes. Well, the condition of the world, first of all, it says that the world will be in terrible moral condition. Luke 17, 26 and 27, it says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man." Now, the Son of Man is referred to as the Antichrist. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all. They didn't know what was coming. 2 Timothy 3 says, "But know this, that the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away." How many things do we hear in the news all the time about people being unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, and all the uns that there are? It seems to be fulfilling that prophecy. The world, I think, is ready for Satan's Superman. It's like waiting for a big earthquake to come. It will happen, but when? Well, secondly, is the corruption of religion. People will fall away from the Bible. It's called a falling away. Visible religion will disappear, and the doctrines of the Word of God will be just laughed at. Churches and denominations will just be under the umbrella of Christianity, but not really true. There's so many ways that our society has been living away from the foundations of the truth of Christianity. There was a time that a person said, "I am a Christian." You knew exactly what they meant. But now there are different doctrinal differences. Some things are different, done differently. But for the most part, a Christian is a person who believes in the death and resurrection of Christ to pay and atone for our sins. They believe in the return of Christ, the fact that the Bible is the Word of God, and that's the main source. and that heaven is an undeserved gift for all who believe. In other words, having a personal relationship with Jesus and having all those things lined up has nothing to do with a denomination or an interdenominational church such as ours. However, things have changed. A person may call themselves a Christian but doubt the accuracy of the Bible. Not a Christian if you don't believe in the Bible. A person may doubt that Jesus really died from the dead and still claim that they're saved. Not a Christian. Something's wrong with this picture. We're living in the great midst of falling away from our traditional beliefs. When denominations have to take a vote on to whether or not to accept a person who is a sinner into the ministry, that's something that's wrong. There are things that are nailed down firmly in the Word of God, and whether you're a repeat thief or a murderer, you should not be in the ministry of the church. Anyone who is unrepentant, and that's so important, should not be allowed into the ministry of the church. For example, in John 8, Jesus saw the woman caught in adultery, and she came up to him and said, "Please forgive my sins." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven," but he put a caveat on that, "Go and sin no more." Truly, we're in the midst of apostasy because beliefs are being changed by the winds of what feels good in society and what feels good. Our faith and doctrine is unchangeable. I'll give you a little illustration. Many of you know that I play baseball, a lot of baseball. Stickball in the streets of Brooklyn, New York. We used to play stickball, punchball, stoop balls, fast pitch, softball, slow pitch softball, all kinds of things. I played high school, college, and summer leagues with players such as Sandy Koufax and Joe Torre and the Aspromonte brothers. But all throughout every single type of league we played, home plate is 17 inches wide. It never varies. It never changes. And if the pitcher in the major leagues can't get a ball over that 17 inches wide, like it seems to be an ongoing problem with the Rockies, and he's sent down to net. Now listen to some of the minor leagues teams that they could be sent down to. The Modesto Nuts, the Casper Goats, or the Carolina Tom Mudcats. The word of God, the Lord, is fulfilled in the life and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which is unchangeable, just like the 17 inches of home plate. Whether you're in Denver or Modesto or Casper or Carolina, the plate, the word of truth is unalterable. May we never widen that plate. In baseball, they don't widen the plate because the pitcher can't get the ball over the plate. They send him down. That's not changeable. Third thing is the completion of the church. In Thessalonians 2 Thessalonians 2 says, "And you know what is holding him back? So that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way." The church must be removed before the Antichrist comes. Bible verse 7 says that the Antichrist is already at work. The church and the Holy Spirit are two things that are preventing that from happening. John 16:8 says, "And when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So of sin because they don't believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because a ruler of this world is judged. However, one of these days, all these forces will be removed and we will be free." What is that called? Last week, the rapture. We're still here. No rapture, yes. The tribulation is not for the church. It is called the time of Jacob's trouble, and we'll be talking about that in later weeks. One of the greatest proofs of the church is the promise of the church in Philadelphia in Europe. Revelation 3:10 said, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial." The period of tribulation will come, but then the church will be released. He said, it says he'll be a man of popularity, a very popular person, the Antichrist. He'll be given a crown. He'll be honored. The people will embrace him as a godsend. He will have a workable peace for the whole world. He will have a formula for peace. He will have a viable explanation for the disappearance of Christians. He will embody all as the world has ever seen. He said the Antichrist will have the leadership of presidents like Reagan, Washington, or Lincoln, the eloquence of Franklin Roosevelt, the charm of Teddy Roosevelt, the charisma of John F. Kennedy, the popularity of Dwight Eisenhower, the political savvy of Lyndon Johnson, the intellect of Thomas Jefferson, and the negotiation skills of Donald Trump. That's the Antichrist. Don't go, That's the Antichrist. He'll be a man of peace. At least everybody will think so. Like a wolf in sheep's clothing. It says in the Bible that he will have a bow, but no arrows. He will not come making war, but making peace. He will make a 7-year peace treaty with the nation of Israel, but then he will break it. Clearly, our world is looking for such a leader. Prosperity, peace. The world will never know really real peace without Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Because if you have Jesus, that's all you need. The only time that genuine peace will ever happen is when Jesus returns to this earth. If you're looking for peace, you can only find it in Christ. The next thing is the Antichrist will be a man of prosperity. He will control the wealth of the world. He'll bring prosperity to those who are poor. The Antichrist will bring the end of world hunger. He will do away with class distinctions. He'll reign over the world and everybody will do so much better financially. Who wouldn't be in favor of that person? What a guise. People like to prosper. He'll be a very popular man. He'll be a man of tremendous power. He'll rule the entire world. Our world is quickly going, economically especially, into a one-world economy. This is going to happen. He will achieve it geographically and politically. He'll become so large in the eyes of humanity that they will literally worship him as God. All this is being done in the beginning of his reign. The abominations of Satan, Superman. What are the abominations of this man, the Antichrist? He will attack the people of the Lord. He will bring down Christianity. He will do what Hitler, Stalin attempted to do. He will exterminate the Jews. He will exterminate new Christians. Because even after the rapture, there will be people still being brought into Christianity. He will lash out and completely destroy them. Now, we're told that we have to protect the spotted owl and tolerate the murder of millions of innocent unborn children. We are told that we are bigots when we point out the evils of society. We're told that we should have no voice in government. We're told to soften our stance. We're told to widen the home plate. Keep your eyes on the things in the next few years. That's why the church is here. It is to maintain and solidify our beliefs and what is important in this world. Then the Antichrist, good word, because he will attack Christ. The man of sin will stand up against the Prince of Princes. Has nothing to do with godliness, holiness. He will make every attempt to stamp out the name of Jesus in the face of this earth, and I think it's done insidiously now. Again, this attitude is already manifested in this world. When's the last time you heard the name of Allah being used as a curse word? You haven't. Jesus is used as a curse word all the time. And GD is used all the time. When have you heard in a fit of anger somebody taking the name of Buddha in vain? I haven't. When's the last time you heard the word damn and used the word Krishna? I have not, and you won't. The name that's attacked is with alarming frequency is the name of Jesus Christ. You might as well face it. The devil, the Antichrist, hates the name of Jesus. He will attack the place of God. He will break that peace treaty with Israel and declare himself to be God. Daniel 8:25 says the Antichrist will be broken without hand. That means he will be defeated, but not by man. He will be overdone and defeated by Jesus Christ. The Antichrist will enter this lake of fire alive. That this will be the end of him. Which side are you on this morning? Are you on the side with the Word of God? Have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? If so, you will never see the Antichrist in this world. Where do you stand today? Well, what does this have to do with us? Well, the answer is that Jesus is coming and the world is poised at a time of trouble. We don't know how bad the trouble can be. Maybe we're at the apex of trouble. What happens? I don't know. If you're saved, you just have to be confident in the word that Jesus is coming here to take care of you. I don't fear the Antichrist. I'll be gone before he makes his appearance, whether it's next moment or years off, because I will be raptured with the church. What about you? Where will you be when Satan, Superman, takes the world by storm? Hopefully, you and I will be in heaven. But what about you? What about you? Let's confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed.